For those of you who have been paying attention over the weeks, have been working through the Lord's Prayer, and we're on the third line today, which is, give us today our daily bread. In 1886, Richard Smith invented a way of retaining wheat germ in flour in order to make a loaf with more goodness. And originally the bread was called Smith's Patent Germ Flour Bread, but this was far too long to put on the side of the loaf. So the baker put in an advertisement in the local newspaper asking people to think of a new name for his new bread. And the competition was won by a teacher named Herbert Grime. He must be a fellow Yorkshireman like me, Herbert Grime. Anyway, he made up the name Hovis, which comes from the Latin words hominis vis, which means strength of man. So there we are, when you buy your next loaf of Hovis, strength of man. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, a duck walks into a pub and he goes to the barman. He says, have you got any bread? And the barman says, no, sorry, we don't sell bread. And the duck says, no, but have you got any bread? And the barman says, no, I've just told you, we don't sell bread. And the duck says, I know, but do you sell bread? And the barman said, look, you stupid duck, I've just told you we don't sell bread. I'm going to nail your foot to the floor if you say that again. And the duck says, have you got any nails? No, he said. Well, have you got any bread then? Now, in the Old Testament, as you all know, if you've read through that, the Israelites are going through the desert, and God makes a promise to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, and he says, I will rain down bread for you from heaven. And the scripture tells us a few verses on, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. Now, the Israelites didn't know what it was, and they didn't realise that the Lord had fulfilled his word to them. And Moses spells it out for them in Exodus 16, verse 16. It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. So hold on to that command from the Lord, because we'll revisit it in just a few moments as we look at this wonderful words from John chapter 6. See, the Lord had fulfilled a specific promise to the Israelites, but at the same time, he was hinting at a much greater one in the future. And in this passage that we had read for us from John chapter 6, we see a confirmation of the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to the Israelites who'd be wandering through the desert some 1,400 years earlier. And at the beginning of John chapter 6, if you know the context, it's always good to put the passages in context. Jesus, if you've got your Bibles, you'll see it there in John chapter 6. Jesus had fed the 5,000, hadn't he? He'd fed the 5,000, at least 5,000, probably a lot more, with five small barley loaves and two small fish. The crowd had tracked Jesus down again and they wanted more. And Jesus saw through their fickleness and he said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him the Father has placed his seal of approval. What's he talking about? Jesus is speaking about one yet to come, and he uses the word seal, not the ball balancing variety, but the, that's a seal, you know. My humour is wasted. But there we go, moving swiftly on. But Paul speaks about this seal, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians 9:22. He says, he anointed us set his seal of ownership over us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And where Jesus refers to working for food that endures to eternal life, he's not advocating so-called good works. We can't earn our way into heaven, can we? But he clearly states this is the work of God, to believe in the one he sent. That's the work of God that he's given to us. What a wonderful thing that is, to believe in the one he sent. The bread the Lord provided in Sinai Desert only sustained the Israelites physically, which was obviously a necessity to them. But now Jesus was explaining that through him, the Lord was providing something even greater, i.e. bread which would sustain them and us spiritually, something that would outlast the human body and go into everlasting life. In verse 33 he says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." That's why it's lovely to have these testimonies here this morning. So we hear God answering prayer. God is at life through us and in our world. Isn't that wonderful? We can see him with the eyes of faith, like we mentioned before. We can see the kingdom principles at work. And then these amazing words follow from Jesus in chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Obviously, he's speaking about spiritual things, not physical things. Friends, in Jesus Christ, we are completely satisfied. Are you hungry for this living bread?
Yes.
Excellent. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're not just talking about more physical food, but in fact, what we're saying is, "Oh Father, will you give me more of Jesus?" It's an amazing line. When you unpack it like that, of course we're asking the Lord to provide for our needs, but ultimately, spiritually, we're talking about, "Lord, I have a hunger for this living bread. I have a hunger. Please give me today more of Jesus." He is the bread of life. Through his Holy Spirit, he sustains us when we come to him. Now, I popped along to the coffee morning here on Thursday, and I was feeling really weird. Not because of the company, of course, but I just thought I felt dizzy, I felt tired, and I was driving home and I thought, do you know what? I'm not having this. And I prayed in the Spirit and I rebuked whatever it was trying to get a hold of me. And during the course of the day, my strength increased. I think we sang about that, didn't we? Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And his sustaining strength helped me, because I thought, I was just going down. I think, oh, poor me, getting tired. Oh, I've been doing too much, blah, blah, blah. And oh, that's rubbish. No, we can stand against that, because the Lord is the living bread who sustains us. Give us this day our daily bread. And he also promised in verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." What a wonderful promise that is. Jesus is saying to each one of us, "Come to me. Come to me. Whatever situation you're in, come to me. I won't drive you away. I will give you everlasting life. Forfeit those things which are only going to destroy you and harm you. Leave those aside. Turn away from those things. Come to me and I will give you eternal life. I will sustain you. I will raise you up." On the last day, he promises to do that too. So this brings us back to our Old Testament passage and the verse I asked you to hold on to just a few moments ago, which was, "Each one is to gather as much as he needs." That's Exodus 16, 16. How hungry are you for the kingdom and his righteousness? Dear, I don't know your name. you shared that testimony about ladies on fire. These and yourself, of course, you're hungry for stuff, aren't you? You're hungry for more of God. The Lord delights in people who are hungry for more. So often we think godliness and contentment and all that, and we plateau out. And the Lord's saying, I've got so much more for you. If you hunger for it, you can have more. And it's our prayer for the church and this nation. They want more. We want to be. It's good to be greedy for God. It's not good to be greedy for food, but it's good to be greedy for God. He wants people to be hungry. We don't want to starve to death spiritually, do we? People who are ill don't have an appetite, and that's a bad thing, not to have an appetite. It's healthy to have an appetite spiritually. It's healthy to have an appetite for God, to want more of God. And if we come to him and feed on him in our hearts by faith, that's what we do by faith as we gather around the Lord's table, as we will in a few moments. And John Wesley encouraged the early Methodists, when there's a tremendous revival going on in this country, to use the means of grace, he called them. And when we pray, give us our daily bread, we have a responsibility to put ourselves in situations where we can receive that daily bread. Because we need that daily bread to grow in our walk with the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray. We need daily times alone with God in prayer. We need daily times of praise and worship. We need daily time to read and study his word so he can speak to us, so he can feed us. And it's always exciting when I hear people who are systematically reading the word, even when they haven't got any time. They make time and they're reading the word. They're saying, Lord, speak to me today. I was out with a walk with a couple of chaps, a couple of ex-Marines, great guys, and we walked up to Harford and back down again, and one of the guys, he was coming up with all these arguments about Jesus being a moral teacher, but that's all he was, blah, 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 blah. And so I said to him, I stopped and I said, have you ever read the New Testament? And he said, no. I said, well, read it and then come back to me and we'll have a conversation about who Jesus is. And I said, as you read your Bible, I said, be a man, because I knew he was a Marine, ex-Marine. I said, be a man, say, Lord, if you're real, speak to me. So I gave him a little challenge. I'll let you know how that goes once he's read his New Testament. But we need daily time, don't we, reading the word of God. Daily fellowship we need with one another where possible. Hopping from Sunday to Sunday will not be enough to grow us as God intends us to grow. 1 hour in 168 a week is not enough. That's how many hours you've got in a week. That's why we're passionate about fellowship, encouraging one another. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. And there's that verse, several verses came to me this morning as I was praying about this. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He offers it to us today. Now, a day is a precious gift, isn't it? Each morning when I get out of bed, I say, thank you, Lord. And I'll say whatever the date is. Thank you, Lord. I receive this day, what is it? The 24th of June, I receive this day as a gift. And we're very blessed by the Lord with our days. So I did a few calculations. If you're in your 30s, you've enjoyed about 11,000 of them. If you're in your 40s, you've enjoyed 15,000 of these days. If you're in your 50s, like me, you've enjoyed 18,000 days. If you're in your 60s, roughly 22,000 of them. If you're in your 70s, you get the idea, about 26,000 of them. In your 80s, over 30,000 days you have been given. What an amazing gift. Jesus, the Lord of life, each day has a potential to, we have a potential, don't we, if we're living in Jesus, the fullness of life he gives to us. Today is the day of salvation. What are you doing with your days? Are you using them for yourself, or are you using them to bless the Lord? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. No doubt in a few hour or so, I will be watching England. But my day does not... Thank you, that's right. There we go. My day does not depend on whether they beat Panama or not. I will not build my life on the sand of football, because it's rooted in Christ Jesus. I hope it's a good, clean game, and they do well. I hope they win, but it doesn't matter, does it? Does it? I'm getting worried then. Okay. There's another wonderful verse I came across in Acts 17:11. It says, "Now the Berean Jews were of a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness," so the hunger, "and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." I love that. That's good. They received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures. I love it when people are examining the scriptures as I preach, because they say, "Is Mark dodgy today?" You don't know, do you? If you need the scriptures, I might be having an off day. So, "Brother, you misquoted that." And I'll say, "I need to look back at me Greek then." There's another wonderful verse, Psalm 90. "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Amen. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow never comes. All we've got is today, and now is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray, and we're going to sing and share communion together. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord Holy Spirit, would you apply that word this morning that we've looked at? Thank you, Jesus, that you sustain us daily, that you want us to have a hunger for you, Lord. If there are any here this morning who aren't hungry for you, I pray, Lord, that you would give them an appetite. And this, the Lord laid on my heart, there's three questions he wants to ask of us this morning. Jesus says, "Am I your daily sustenance, or are you filling yourselves up with worldly junk that will never satisfy?" Jesus says, "Do you have an appetite for me, for more of me in your life?" And he says, "Am I enough for you today?" So he asks those three questions. Am I your daily sustenance, or are you filling yourselves up with worldly junk that will never satisfy? Do you have an appetite for more of me in your life? Am I enough for you today? Holy Spirit, would you apply these words into hearts and minds? May you grant your salvation to any today who as yet are not born again. Would you convict them of the things that they need to lay aside and put to death? And Lord, would you grant them life? Life everlasting. Thank you, Jesus, that you sustain us daily, because you are the bread of life. Amen.